You know, I love to say the name of Jesus, but we can truly say the only way to be happy is to trust and obey. And so we need to follow the Lord Jesus, and we need to, you can't be happy, you can't have any joy unless you know Jesus as your Savior. So you leave Jesus out, then the trials and the troubles and the tribulation, you'll have them, but you will be able to walk each day and have the strength to come through them and to enjoy them. Revelation. Revelation. The fourth chapter, verse 1, beginning to read. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardis stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for these folks that have come to hear your word today. Continue, Father, to guide and lead us each and every day. And Father, those that are here that maybe they know about you, but they have never come by faith to you. They have never come to that day where they said, Jesus, please come into my heart and save me. It's a day that you will never forget. It's a day that will be the most wonderful day. And it's a day that begins life. Until that time, you're dead in your trespasses and sins. You're condemned already, the Scripture says. There's much to be gained by trusting in Jesus as your Savior. Not only eternal life, but that eternal life begins immediately. So life begins. So please, dear Father, just touch the heart. Bring him to the cross of Calvary where you were crucified, where you died, where you shed your blood to save us. And then thank you, Father, that you rose again 3 days later. Victory. So please, dear Lord, touch every single heart. And if they can't come back to a time when they had asked you into their heart, please do it today. Please, Father, call them out. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have three divisions to this part of the Scripture. And the point we're to here is says things that must come hereafter. Things that must come hereafter. The divisions in chapter 1, and the purpose of that, the first division, and please just turn back with me to chapter 1. We have many little verses just to read, because the purpose of chapter 1 was to bring honor and glory unto the Lord, to present to us the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what we have in this first division in chapter 1 that we've covered. And so look at the fifth verse. The fifth verse tells us, For Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. What a precious verse of Scripture to begin with, to look at that one. Then glance on down to verse 8. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. Look for the 12th verse, and from the 12th down through the 18th verse we're going to read. And John said, I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with the garment down to the foot, girt about with paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the voice, a sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. What a wonderful description and explanation for us in our little minds to be able to understand what our Lord God, the Lord Jesus, appears, looks like, to get a thought of the power and the strength and the authority of our God has. And that's what we saw and looked at here in chapter 1 as we find the vision of our glorified Lord. And so understand, and back in Leviticus, it continued to repeat in the text that we're studying, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. It just continued to do that many times through a very short text that we were studying and reading this morning. And so I am the Lord. And then the second division is the letters to the churches. John was told to record these, and he was said to write these things down and to send them to the churches. And so that's what we have. And so each one of these churches received this announcement, received the letters that we studied. It was by the inspiration of the Lord. And so how would you like to receive a letter, literally, from the Lord Jesus Christ saying, you no longer love me like you used to. You've lost the love that you had for me. And then how would you like to get the letter to those few that were still alive at the church of Smyrna, because they were martyred for standing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came with praise to them, thanking them for where they stood and how they stood, even though it cost them their life to be a believer in Jesus Christ. How would you like to be at the church of Pergamos and get the words that you are a compromising church? You have left my word. You have left me. You have brought in man to lead you instead of letting me lead you. And that's what the letter to Pergamos is summed up. The doctrine of Balaam and the Nicolaitans, you practice that. And he brings them with a word of judgment, sharp two-edged sword. Church of Thyatira. It's just kind of an offspring of Pergamos. Man started ruling and reigning in Pergamos. Thyatira received a terrible, terrible letter. Said, you have not only left me and left me most of the time in my presence, but you have put a man here upon this earth, and you have called him my intermediate. You're the one that you've got to speak to him. You've got to speak to the church. And when the church meant the Roman Catholic Church, that's who the organization clear back in this time. Remember, there were 7 literal churches in John's day. And there were 7 literal letters went out to these 7 churches. And so they received a letter declaring that they were the darkest of dark. They have left the word. They have left the truth. And you not only have that, but you have brought a man down. You literally called him God. And you have made the church has replaced me. And so condemnation was great to Thyatira. Sardis, you moved the right direction. Again, this was a literal church at the same time. You moved in the right direction. You started to realize that Thyatira was wrong. But you stop short. And now it's just kind of a mixture. It's much like Pergamos. It didn't change much. So he wasn't happy with them at all. And so when we see that, and the problem is, in Sardis, they said, we're alive. And you find that today in many churches that do not preach the Word of God. Look at the power. Look at the people that come to church. This church is full because of me, because of us, because of the program that we have. It's got nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. They've left the Word of God, and they've left the Lord Jesus himself. And so they are, again, said that I'm alive, but God declared them dead. He declared them dead. All right, then we come to Philadelphia. He had nothing but praise because they were the one church besides Smyrna down here. They were the only church that stayed true to the Word of God. They said, I've got a couple things to say to you. You've stayed true to my word. You have stayed true to my name. The only way of salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ, the true church right here. Then we come to the final church, and they were the worst of worst. And he wrote a letter of condemnation, of damnation to these people that literally didn't stop because they said, we don't need anything. Can you imagine? This is a church. This was a literal building, a place where people come to meet. They said, we don't need anything, and most of all, Jesus, we don't need you. And that's exactly what they said. And so past feeling was part of the thought there. So the second division was these seven churches, these seven literal letters that was written and delivered to the pastors of these churches. What a sad, sad day it was for the majority of those churches. That was the second division. That was a division that took us over 6 months to go through, to enjoy, to watch, to see it. And in addition to that, the heading there, I know thy works. Not only is it seven literal churches of that day, those seven literal churches exist today. And those are as well seven time periods. And so you can see 33 to 100, 33 to 314, 314 to 590. You can see a cross there as the times. And we have that down, and we are going to make several copies. I'll announce that we'll have it on the back table next Sunday for you in that way. You can refer back to that as you would like to if you would desire to. That is the second division. The third division is where we find ourselves today in the first verse of chapter 4. This is the hereafter. This is what's to come to pass. It really begins in the sixth chapter. Chapter 4 and chapter 5 is kind of an introduction to what's going to come in chapter 6. And so please don't miss any of these studies. This battle between good and evil has been going on ever since the devil convinced Eve to eat of the forbidden fruit. This division, this battle, and at the birth of the church some 4,000 years later, Satan has and his demons have just poured all out with all the pressure and the power they can to come and destroy. And so we have a look at that from the beginning with Ephesus to the end of Laodicea. They begin to lose their first love, and then we get to Laodicea. They have no feeling, no desire whatsoever to serve the Lord Jesus Christ or to come to him. You know, if you come and you do not like the preaching of heaven and hell, saying that if you don't come by faith to the Lord Jesus, you're going to burn in the fires of hell. Well, you're going to find out here in these coming chapters what's going to take place during a 7 years of tribulation here upon earth. Now, you may not live long enough. You may die before. And if you die before, you won't go through that 7 years of tribulation here on earth, hell on earth. You're not going to go through that because you're going to be in hell already. Because there is a burning, fiery place in the center of this earth that is hell. He said, I don't believe it. Fine, you will. Never will I come and bow down to Jesus. Yes, you will. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. But you see, it's too late. If you don't do it now, now is the day of salvation, not later. And so what's to come here, as it says, the hereafter is what you will have to face if the Lord Jesus takes His church out, as He does here in the first three verses of chapter 4, and beginning this terrible time of tribulation here on earth, you will live through that or die through it, better yet, because it is going to be a most horrible time if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. The battle is between good and evil, between light and darkness, between righteousness and unrighteousness. The battle is between God and Satan, between the Holy Spirit and the evil spirits that's out there. And this battle will continue until the church, believers, born-again believers, not just members of this church by any means. And if it would take place today, if it would the event of the rapture of the church be right now, would you still be sitting here? The twinkle of an eye, a split second, it's going to happen. So when He comes, that trump's going to sound. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you will not hear that trump, but everybody else will. Everybody that's born again will hear that, and we're gone. And all of a sudden, you might be sitting there all by yourself. And I guarantee you that you're not going to say, well, good riddance to Him. Because you're going to be scared to death, because you'll know what happened. Don't let that happen. The church, believers, those that have come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, made that personal decision to come, will be safely seated in the heavens with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you wonder when it tells us here in this first verse of chapter 4, after this, I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard, which he had heard that voice before, but this was as he was there, this is the first thing that he heard. I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, I will show these things which must be hereafter. This is not the first time that we've had those words. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 1, verse 19. Revelation chapter 1, verse 19. That gives us the very survey of those three things that we were talking about. Revelation chapter 1, verse 19. Write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. There is the three divisions that I just listed. The three divisions are very clear. The things which thou hast seen, the past. The things that are, the present. And the things that shall be, the future. He's going to show us what's to come. They do not occur at the same time. They're not simultaneous. One comes after the other. Before, today, and tomorrow. And so that's what we have here with these divisions. The first, John saw the division of the glorified Lord. We looked at that back in chapter 1. Chapter 2 and 3, the churches were given their reports, and it was delivered to them. And number 3, the church is caught up. Two things happen when the church is caught up. We go up, they go down. Now, you think about going down. Did those that were here on earth then go straight to hell? No. but they are cast into the tribulation period. And the words that are used here are words that I have spewed you out of my mouth. I have vomited you up. That's how much God despises those that he loved and died for. But they refuse to say yes. And so being a righteous, right God, he has to judge you if you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. He will judge you. And that judgment will begin with this 7 years of tribulation if you are still present upon this earth. We look at the, back to the fourth chapter. After I looked, behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. That door opened. God promised back in Revelation 3:10, which is probably on the same page in your Bible. It says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. That word there, to keep thee from the hour of temptation, is the tribulation period. So the hour of temptation and the tribulation period of 7 years is one and the same. The church will not enter nor have any part of the tribulation. There are those that teach that we will go midway. We'll be 3.5 years into it. Their reasoning is that it really doesn't all fall apart until the Antichrist sits on the throne of God. That day is the day that literally all hell will break loose here up on earth for that last 3.5 years. The first 3.5 years, people are deceived. They see everything is going well, everything is moving forwards. But the devil is getting those folks to get the mark on the hand, the 666 forehead or on the hand. All this takes place. If you don't have the mark, you don't work. There won't be any banks. There won't be any insurance companies. There won't be any of this. Because everything you do, you will do by the mark. And you'll go into work and you'll show your mark. You go into the grocery store, you'll show your mark. Everything you do, if you do not have the mark, you don't eat. If you don't have the mark, you don't work. You cannot function. You can't rent a house. You can't buy a house. You can't do anything during this time, unless you possess that mark. And if you possess the mark, you have sold your soul to the devil. And there's no return. No return. So we need to see that you come by faith of the Lord Jesus. And so the church of Philadelphia, the true church, the one that stayed true, true to my word, true to the name of Jesus. Two simple little things. Why in the world does the world have such a difficult time staying to those simple requirements? My word, my name. That's all he's asking. Stay faithful to those two things. Instead of that, thousands of religions, thousands of cults have went this way and this way and this way. The old devil is so busy with his demons to pull you away from coming by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. The bride of Christ, the church, will not be tried up on the earth, will not be tried at all. Because you see, when we come by faith to Jesus, our sins are taken away. It is very simple. Again, the hour of temptation is the great tribulation. The time of Jacob's trouble in Jeremiah 30, verse 7, is one of the same. You'll find the last days in Joel chapter 2, verse 31, and over in Jude, verse 6. And we're studying in Jude on Sunday night. You need to come and enjoy that study, because that is the opening and the presentation of the apostate church, which is exactly where we're at. It introduces Revelation to us. And so please come and don't miss. The church without question is raptured in the first three verses here in the fourth chapter. And there is no further mention of the church. The Holy Spirit will not be here to hold down the wickedness and the power of the devil, his evil forces. As I've said many times already, but with the absence of the Holy Spirit, this earth will be a literal hell. And that hell's going to last for 7 years. For 7 years. The earth will be turned over to the devil, and he will rule. And remember this, because we're going to cover this many times. He will rule in the person of the beast. And that's political. He will rule in the person of the Antichrist, which is religious. So we've got two. We've got the beast and the Antichrist. We're going to fellowship. We're going to talk about them. We're going to understand them. And realizing that that is the devil's two forces. The beast is political. The Antichrist is a religious leader. He is going about to destroy all the world as we know it today. But the church will be raptured before this judgment comes, before this falls upon the earth. The church will be gone. And so you need to know the Lord Jesus. You need to come. And remember, the overcomers will be caught up. The multitudes will be spewed out. And so that division comes. Let's move to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you've ever read concerning this, it's a wonderful story. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're going to begin reading with the 13th verse. Read this many times when folks are saved, when I have their funeral service. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. In other words, I want you to know, Paul says, concerning them which are asleep, those that have died, that knew the Lord Jesus. You see, that's a wonderful reference, because to those that die in the Lord Jesus, they go straight into the presence of the Lord. And so they just the word that's used here is sleep. So those that sleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Those that die without the Lord Jesus, they have no hope, and they'll go right into the pits of hell immediately. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. You see, the joys of the victory of the rapture. Now, we have not talked about the body, the resurrection of the body. See, when we die now, our soul goes in the presence of the Lord, our body goes into the grave, just like everybody's. But the division's going to come when Jesus calls us home, when this trump sounds. Those that do not know the Lord Jesus, their body's going to stay in there for another 1,007 years. And then they will be raised up. But the difference is they get their old body 1,007 years later. How many aches and pains you want to take with you? Because they will be. Every single one of them will be with you. If you die a horrible death of some cancer, and it's the most painful and the agonizing pain you suffer, you're gonna have that all of your life, forever and ever and ever. We need to understand how serious this is to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. We continue to read here. I'm going to read verse 14 again because it's too important. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, it's the only authority we have, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, those that have died in Christ. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And we are to comfort one another with these words. And they are comfort if you know the Lord Jesus. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, your soul is still in the pits of hell and your body is still in the grave. We will receive a glorified, brand new body. I got hope I'm going to look good. I got hope. It's a joy to read the Word of God. Raptured. The first three chapters we've talked about. The church is present. But the fourth chapter, in this first three chapters, it occurs about 20 times, the word church or churches. But from the first verse of chapter 4 to the 22nd chapter, verse 17, the church is not mentioned. We're not here. Don't let anybody convince you that we're going midway, or that we go post. Some even teach that we go through the tribulation. This is contrary to the Word of God. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be raptured before the tribulation begins, before it's ushered in. And these words here tell us very clear. Once again, look at the comparison of 1 Thessalonians 4 and Revelation chapter 4. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened unto heaven, and the voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me. The trump's going to sound, which said, come up hither, and I will show you these things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat upon that throne. He that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardis stone. There was a rainbow. Even the devils destroyed the picture of the rainbow today. You know, it's so sad, all the things that the devil will take of God's and use in a perverted way, and the rainbow is one of them. Now, as we see these words, John did not go bodily as 1 Thessalonians spoke, because he can't. He still had his old fleshly body. So he went in the Spirit up into the presence of the Lord to see and to hear all these things that he's going to show us in the 4th, 5th, and 6th and on chapters. And so as we come to this point here, understand that the only difference here is John didn't get to go in the body. He couldn't. Not until the church is raptured and we get our glorified bodies. Not until then. But we have a wonderful description, but we have it, come up hither, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. Immediately, what was the first thing? We're going to stop with this. There's too much here. The first thing that he saw was a throne. What do you think is going to be the first thing we see? I think it's going to be the throne of God. And we're going to see Jesus sitting on it all at the same time. We'll end here. Begin next week. And, you know, Michelle, I can't imagine you're just not going to have to drive back. I'd say I'd send them to you, but I won't.
What?
Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank and praise you for the day, and thank you for your precious word, and thank you for these folks that have come to hear. And I pray, Father, that they know you as their Savior, because for a believer, this is the most exciting time. And don't let that old devil come in and just, Father, let that devil convince them that, I don't know if this is right. Please, Father, that your Spirit will come and convict their heart and call them today unto salvation and take care of this once and for all. Because it's not something you have to do every day or every week or once. It's something you do one time. Because, Father, we know that you send that Comforter. You send your Spirit to come and live within our hearts forever. Wonderful, Father. Please, just speak. Speak to hearts. Make it ever so clear that all they need to do. And we have we sing the closing hymn, and we call it the hymn of invitation, and it's a time to respond to what you have spoken to the hearts of the people to do. And so please don't let anyone today leave without saying yes to you. Please bring them down that aisle. Please, Father, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.